ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 4, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kamam babarsha parajanyaha sarva kama dukha mahi sishrichuhu Sma Vrajan Gavaha Payasa Udhasvatihi Muda Kamam Vavarsha Parajanya Sarva Kama Dukhamahi Shishichu smagar brajan gava Payaso dhasvatir muda Kamam vavarsha parjanya Sarva kama dukhamahi Shishichu sma vrajan gava Payaso dhasvatir muda During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. Purport: The basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. The necessities of human society are food, grains, fruits, milk, minerals, clothing, wood, etc. One requires all these items to fulfill the material needs of the body. Certainly one does not require flesh and fish or iron tools and machinery. During the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthira, all over the world there were regulated rainfalls. Rainfalls are not in the control of the human being. The heavenly king, Indradev, is the controller of rains, and he is the servant of the Lord. When the Lord is obeyed by the king and the people under the king's administration, there are regulated rains from the horizon. And these rains are the cause of all varieties of production on the land. Not only do regulated rains help ample production of grains and fruits, but when they combine with astronomical influences, there is ample production of valuable stones and pearls. Grains and vegetables can sumptuously feed a man and animals, and a fatty cow delivers enough milk to supply a man sumptuously with vigor and vitality. If there is enough milk, enough grains, enough fruit, enough cotton, enough silk, and enough jewels, then why do the people need cinemas, houses of prostitution, slaughterhouses, etc.? What is the need of an artificial, luxurious life of cinema, cars, radio, flesh, and hotels? Has this civilization produced anything but quarreling individually and nationally? Has this civilization enhanced the cause of equality and fraternity by sending thousands of men into a hellish factory and the war fields at the whims of a particular man? It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were joyful. Do they not require, therefore, proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with sufficient quantity of grass in the field? Why should men kill cows for their selfish purposes? Why should man not be satisfied with grains, fruits, and milk, which, combined together, can produce hundreds and thousands of palatable dishes? Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhishthir, while touring his vast kingdoms, saw a black man attempting to kill a cow. The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not a king or executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves? Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country citizens also? Then why are they allowed to be butchered in organized slaughterhouses? Are these the signs of equality, fraternity, and non-violence? Therefore, in contrast with the modern, advanced, civilized form of government, an autocracy like Maharaj Yudhishthir's is by far superior to a so-called democracy, in which animals are killed and a man less than an animal is allowed to cast votes for another less than animal man. We are all creatures of material nature. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said that the Lord himself is the seed-giving father and material nature is the mother of all living beings in all shapes. Thus, Mother Material Nature has enough foodstuff, both for the animals and for the men. By the grace of the Father Almighty, Sri Krishna, the human being is the elder brother of all other living beings. He is endowed with intelligence more powerful than animals for realizing the course of nature and the indications of the Almighty Father. Human civilization should depend on the production of material nature without artificially attempting economic development to turn the world into a chaos of artificial greed and power only for the purpose of artificial luxuries and sense gratification. This is but the life of dogs and hogs. Kamam Dadarsha Parijanya Sarva Kama Dukamahi Shushichu Sman Prajanga Vakayas Udvasvatir Muga. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, clouds showered all the water that people needed, and the earth produced all the necessities of man in profusion. Due to its fatty milk bag and cheerful attitude, the cow used to moisten the grazing ground with milk. We've often heard about depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. At least I hope we've often heard about it. Well, this verse brings in all these principles. There's Maharaj Yudhishthira is mentioned. He's not directly mentioned in the verse, but from the context, it's understood. He was fully depending on Krishna. And because he was pious, the earth was also very happy to produce all necessities for man. And the cows gave so much milk that they'd moisten the grazing ground with their milk. So here we have depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. This is an economic consideration. Srila Prabhupada begins his purport here by stating that the basic principle of economic development is centered on land and cows. Because that's, we get everything, all of our necessities from the land and the cows. all necessities for human life. So that's an economic consideration. Therefore, we don't need factories. If we have land and cows, then we don't need all these things. But a very important point to understand here is that when we're talking about Krishna, Krishna is not an object for our economic development. And for that matter, the land and the cows, they're also not objects for our economic development. Just like for the child, his economic arrangement is made by his parents, normally speaking. But that's because the parents have a relationship, and it's expected that the child will appreciate the relationship, not just think how I can get money out of my parents. So in the same way, if we think the land, okay, how can we exploit it to the best of our ability? The cows, how can we extract as much milk with minimal cost? If we only consider the economic factors and we forget that the ultimate goal of life is Krishna prema, and love of Krishna means to love all other living beings, and that the land, just like our mother, she's one of our mothers, among the seven mothers listed, Prithvi is the seventh, the earth, the cow is our mother. So the Krishna likes to maintain us because he's our father. Aham bija pradapita. And the mother and the cows, they like to give to us because they're our mothers. But if we just treat them as some objects to exploit, or if we don't recognize that they're living beings, and they also have, they like to have a relationship, if we're atheistic, then we just see everything and everyone as objects to use. Sometimes we hear, it's more common in the Western world than in India, that about perceiving nature as spiritual. Well, that's true in one sense, because in every tree, in every forest, in the land, it's all spirit. Every tree is a living being. Every forest has the not exactly devata, but the spirit of the forest. Life is everywhere. It's not just all matter. Life is the principle by which everything is animated. That may sound like a truism, but life is not simply matter. This atheistic theory has caused chaos in society because people think they lost their relationship with the land and with the cow. The land is also our mother. We have to treat very nicely. That's one reason why plowing should be with bulls and not with tractors, which the tractor is very heavy on the earth and it compacts the earth so that the normal function of the earth, all the microorganisms and the worms that go in loose earth, that can't happen with earth that's been compacted. So with tractors you can very quickly plow a lot of land, but the very consistency of the earth detrimentally changes in the meantime. So a very important part of our spiritual health, we may say, well, we just chant Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books, but for our spiritual health, it's also very important how we live. If we live by ugra karma, then we're going to have contaminated consciousness. Or if we live in cities which are built on ugra karma, nasty work, it's going to adversely affect our consciousness. What to speak of the pollution of the air, the pollution of the water, the pollution of the food, it all adds to the pollution of the mind. So spiritually healthy life is the materially healthy life and the spiritually healthy life, they go together. It's possible to, because spirit is above matter, just like you can see here, Krishna wrestling with Chanara, even though Chanara is very materially strong, but spiritual energy will always conquer over material energy. So one can be spiritually strong by chanting Hare Krishna, but modern life doesn't make a favorable situation. It rather makes an unfavorable situation for prosecuting spiritual life. And if we analyze this, we'll find in various important ways how it's so much more conducive for spiritual life to live on the land and depend on the cows and Krishna instead of depending on money. Yesterday we got the news that your money is no longer money, it's demonetarized. That means it's just a piece of paper, and now it really is a piece of paper. Those westernized Indians can now use their 500 rupee notes for wiping their backsides after they pass through, because there's not much else you can do with it. Or you can bring fire in here in North India in the winter, people like to make fires to keep warm. So you can bring bundles and bundles of 500 rupee notes and throw them all in the fire, because they're not much. Or you can keep it as a souvenir, and maybe after 500 years you could sell it for 500 rupees. In the meantime, it's not worth much else. It's literally just a piece of paper. Although if you rush to the bank soon enough, you can change up to 4,000 miserable rupees, just 4,000 rupees. Any normal person keeps more than, it's not black money, but any normal person keeps more than that in cash. Well, middle class people. Anyway, when money collapses, as it's been forcibly collapsed by the GOI, Government of India. I was in Burma when that happened once also. Overnight they said the currency is no longer currency, and then they issued new notes, 175 chat, I think it's called, their currency. 175, 35 chat notes, 175, all strange denominations. I guess it improved the people's arithmetical abilities to try to work out how 6 times 35 plus 7 times 175, how much it comes to. There are no calculators in those days, especially in Burma. You wouldn't have an abacus. The Chinese people had abacuses. Anyway, living on the land, depending on Mother Earth, Mother Cow, and Father Krishna, there can be economic upheavals and downheavals and side heavals and back heavals and forward heavals. But the people living on the land, whatever the land and Mother Cow gives, they'll accept that. And it really won't make much difference what happens to all the money, which is another reason why we have to establish farm communities, which are the, I'm speaking about this obviously because we're going to have our Varnashram meeting today. And Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram communities, beginning with the land. Now, some people say we can have Varnashram in the city also. Of course, in Vedic civilization, there are cities like Dwaraka, Hastinapur, and so on. But basically, most people lived on the land because our necessities are produced from the land. And living on the land, that produces healthy food. Many of the things which people eat today are not healthy. And if you take biscuits, for instance, commercially produced biscuits, wine, not healthy. And even the food full of chemicals, not healthy. So the food that we take, it doesn't even nourish us physically, but food which is produced by people who themselves are cultivating fine sentiments. The earth gives. And the whole idea, we're producing food not just to fill our belly so that we can pass stool the next morning, or so that we can have lots of sex or whatever, but producing food to offer to Krishna. For the whole motive, it's not just how I can live, which is the animal platform, ahara nidra bhaya maitun, but thinking at the very time when preparing the land, by plowing the land, planting seeds, replanting if it's rice, maybe irrigating or whatever, always thinking, this is to offer to Krishna. In that book, Vanshidas Babaji, I described how one devotee, Ananta Vishvamba, in the Sri Chaitanya Mart, he was seeing one papaya growing and growing and growing and growing, and just when it was ripe, can you remember what he did? Anyone read that book? He cut the papaya and took it on the other side of the river to Vanshidas. So he was watching and just thinking, when it's ready, I'm going to take it to Vanshidas. So in the same way, growing flowers, growing fruit, and all the time thinking, how are we going to offer it to Krishna? And then taking it as Krishna's mercy and distributing it with a very strong sense that this is Krishna's mercy. You can see how it's Krishna's mercy, how Krishna has given the potency to the seed to develop and nourish us, and nourishes the cows also, just like we harvest wheat. We take the wheat kernels and the busha, the bran and the stem, that goes to the cows. So we're growing rice and wheat, we're simultaneously making, producing food for humans and for cows, and then the cows, they give their dung and urine, which is very conducive for the soil and even human. I'm often asked about this, should we use human waste? Yes, you can also use. That's also part of nature's plan, that it recycles and nourishes the earth. Of course, it has to be properly composted, not that you use it directly. But then, one who lives like this, they can see the whole cycle of nature, how we're all interdependent, and they can easily. You don't have to speak so much philosophy to try to explain that there's a God who's controlling everything by His mercy. Well, it's just completely obvious. It's not a matter of thinking about it or philosophically trying to understand it. You practically perceive it every day. How the cycle is going on. one naturally, even without formal education, with a little direction, one can very easily become fully God conscious. Just like in North India, in most of North India, not in Govardhan so much, because this is a place of Krishna Leela, but most of North India, people without any education, any formal education, they'd be living on the land, working on the land, and they'd know the whole Ramcharitmanas just by hearing it again and again and again. And they could apply quotes from that to any situation. And so they're naturally God conscious by living in the world, living on the lap of Mother Nature, protecting the cow with love, and the cow with love gives milk, and remembering that the cow is very dear to Krishna. And this way, just by living your life, swakarmanatham abhyacha, this is the meaning of work is worship. Not that you work in some miserable factory and earn money, but just by living your life in God consciousness and remembering everything we're doing is by the grace of Krishna. Any moment, you know, any moment, snake can bite, the cow, they may be in a bad mood and give you a butt. Anything can happen anytime. You're always depending on the mercy of Krishna. There can be floods. We're all depending on Mother Nature, but during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira, there were no such things as excessive rains or insufficient rains or famine or floods. There are no such things. These are all results of impiety, and even our modern scientists, who when I was a child at school, they were telling us that how science we're going to control nature, but even they admit that it's due to man's stupidity. Well, they won't use the word, because they're the ones who stupidized us all with their silly ideas of controlling nature. But they know that it's due to man's incontinence that there's a global warming, depletion of the ozone layer, air pollution everywhere. Just like here in, we're about, how many? About 80 to 90 kilometers from the center of Delhi, if you go by a straight line, but still the pollution from Delhi is here. How far does the pollution go? At least as far as the Maldives. If you go to the Maldive Islands, you might think you get fresh air. It's still polluted from India. The air comes from India to the Maldives, and it's still polluted there. If you breathe the air there, you'll get poisoned from the Indian poison. So the scientists themselves admit that man is making a disaster. The weather is all changed. In the past they were saying that we're going to have severe problems with irregular weather. It's already happening. We can see that now. The seasons don't come in proper order. Sometimes it's warm in the winter it's warm in the winter and cold in the summer. It's happening. America, they used to get one tornado every few years. Now they get several every year. And the scientists, they admit it's because of our meddling with the environment. So they may explain that in a scientific way, but the real science to understand is that Mother Nature is displeased. She's telling us, don't do this, don't live like this. I'm willing to support you abundantly, but if you behave, if you treat me so badly as the mother, she has to teach us not to behave in such a bad way. But people who live in traditional societies, they're very conscious of our relationship with the earth. We have to treat the earth very well. She's sustaining us, even for our own benefit. We can't misuse the earth. You don't keep on using the same plot of earth again and again and again and again. Sometimes you have to leave the land just to recover. That's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the seventh canto, that if you go on using the earth, it becomes unsuitable for production. Sometimes you have to give it a rest. So anyone without any formal education, if they live on the lap of Mother Nature, they can see that it's all a very complex, interrelated organism of which we are a part. A part, not a part. We are a part. But now we have become a part. We're living as if we are a part. We are part of this whole ecosystem. Not that we are the lords and masters, not that we are meant to dominate it and exploit it, not that nature is meant for us to control. This is the demoniac attitude. We are meant to understand our place in the world. Ultimately, we can understand that we are not meant to be in this world at all, but we are spiritual beings. We are meant to be in the spiritual world with Krishna. But materially speaking, the situation that we have got now in a human body, it's meant to act in a certain way, to interact with the rest of the ecosystem in a way that we shouldn't think what's just conducive for me or for humans, but for all the living beings. And if we think like that, that would be best for humans also. If we think, let's exploit everything, let's exploit the resources of the earth, then ultimately we end up the losers. But especially we may think, well, this is all mundane. It could be mundane, but if we understand that human life is meant for God realization, which is really the point, what we speak. Why are you talking about all this? Human life is meant for God realization. Why are you talking about the farming and all these kinds of things? Yeah, well, human life is meant for God realization, but we should live in a way that is conducive for that. And the Ugra Karma civilization is just the opposite. Just like there was just this American election, right? It conducted a lot more interest in the world than you would have had, for instance, some country like, I don't know, the Maldives, I just mentioned. Who gets elected as the president of the Maldives doesn't capture the attention of the world news, but the president of, as Prabhupada mentions here about, was it here? I was just reading somewhere, about unenlightened politicians. Unenlightened politicians, they have no idea what they're doing. So whoever came in, it was just the choice between two, and neither of them had any idea of the actual purpose of life. Both of them will go on exploiting the environment, maybe one worse than the other, one that I directly said for the sake of the economy, forget all these environmental controls. They have no idea. They're both representatives of a society in which people are completely cut off, even materially, from their roots. And what to speak of spiritual, have no idea of the purpose of life or how to live in a manner which is conducive for that. And it's the same in India today. Mass urbanization is going on. People are leaving the villages. And even in the villages, it's the consciousness is one, it's economic consciousness. How we can produce enough, whatever, food or flowers or whatever crops they're growing. Tobacco is a major cash crop in India. How we can produce enough so that we can get money, so we can have cell phones and TVs. Of course, if you live in Tamil Nadu and you're under the previous government, they'll give you a free TV. But this consciousness, it's all consumer consciousness. Consumer consciousness is just the opposite of the consciousness of the Varnashram society, in which people are not thinking how I can consume, but what is my duty to give my labor, to give my skills. Even we may think, well, the Kshatriya is a consumer, he takes taxes. But I'll get back to that. There's so many things to be discussed. But the Kshatriya, he keeps so much funds, and well, actually grains are mostly in the taxes are mostly in the form of grains. And that is a stock that can be used for emergencies and for making yajnas, which again benefits the whole society. So they're more like a, they oversee something like a cooperative bank. It's a, how many grains can one man eat? He may have gold and all these kind of things, but then what are you going to trade them for? For grains and milk products. So it's a completely different approach to life, in which we see the sun rises in the morning, the sun, Yachakshuresha Savita Sakalagrahanam Raja Samasta Suramurti Rashesha Tejaha Yasyagya Brahmati Samrita Kala Chakra Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Sun is the representative of Krishna, and the order of Krishna is rising and setting. All the planets, they all have their different influences. The moon influences the mind and the tide. All the different planets have their, the earth, the mother cow, different plants. The other day in Nandagram in Gujarat, we were walking around with this, Vaidya. Every single plant, he knew the name, the use, what can be done with it, everything. We didn't even know the names or didn't even notice them. You're just walking along, you know every single plant. And Prabhupada expected that also. He was walking once with his disciple in the country. He said, what's that plant? And he expected the devotees to know. And someone said, oh, it's just a useless weed. And Prabhupada said, yeah, you are useless. Every plant has a use. You don't know. They can all be used. And by the time we'd finished our little walk around the farm, I thought, we don't need to grow any vegetables. They're just growing wild. Practically so many things you can cook and use. You know that in Bengal, people, they'll just, what someone would see as a weed, they just pick it up and cook it. So many varieties of shak, these green vegetables. Once in America, I was staying in a devotee's house, and I saw in the field opposite there's so much Brahmi growing. So I sent his children, go and pick all of that. And I had his wife cook it. His wife is from Mauritius, she's Indian. He's from South Africa, white. And he wouldn't eat it, he was afraid. Oh, he only believes in food if it comes from a shop. He said, it might be poisonous. This is growing everywhere, it's Brahmishak, growing everywhere, grows widely all over the world. Well, not in northern Canada probably, but in many places. So, well, in warm climates, that was Florida. So we see ourselves as parts of a vast macrocosm in which Krishna arranges that we can produce profusely. Practically, we don't even need to grow food. For the rishis, they don't grow any food. They just live in the forest and they take whatever's there. For grihasthas who have more needs than rishis, they may produce food, and then they produce so many different things. Oil for rubbing on the body, and for lights, for lamps at night. So if we're really living a renounced life, then we don't even need to do any farming. Even that's not required. But grihasthas and sannyasis in the modern age, Bhagavatam says that the sannyasi, he doesn't really need to have any clothes at all. He can use a loincloth. So if you don't need it, don't use it, that's all. So, yava dartha parigraha, this is the general formula. Just accept what you need. Don't take any more than that. As soon as we start to take more than we need, then we become a demon. And we can see how demoniac is the modern civilization. You may say, well, Vaishyas, they produced more than they need. Kshatriyas, they live very, very opulently. But again, they have a function in society. They have a function. Vaishyas produce. So that yajna can be performed, worship can be performed. The kshatriyas, they act as a stockpilers. So when they get extra, what do? Kshatriyas, very wealthy kshatriyas, they build temples. Nowadays there are no kshatriyas. So temples are mostly built by Vaishyas. I don't know who built them. Especially this Srinathji Vallabh Sampradaya, you see also in Gujarat, this Baps Swaminarayan, they built so many temples, all built by Patels, who were meant to be farmers, Patels, but they became businessmen. And they built so many beautiful temples. So it's the right idea, but wrongly applied, because... Anyway, we're not discussing Swami Narayan here, but if it's for Srinathji, very nice. For Swami Narayan, no. Anyway, the whole idea is that instead of seeing ourselves as what modern society casts us in, a role of an individual struggling, maybe with the help of our family members, well, that's also breaking down in India. But just individuals out to make our own life, so that we can't really make any relationships. You get married once and then you break it and then you get married again, because it's just all about me. If I don't like my wife, get rid of her, find someone else. And the wife also thinks the same thing, because we've broken our natural relationship with the land and the cows, and we've made ourselves individually all exploiters of the earth, exploiters of the cow. Cow killing civilization means there is no civilization. We're just here to enjoy, and whoever can get the most money, they become the most powerful and they can exploit others. As soon as we break our relationship with the land and the cows, then it becomes exploitive and demoniac. How important it is for our movement. When Prabhupada said to establish farms, he wasn't just talking about going to a farm and living there rather than living in the city, but it's a whole way of life and a whole approach to life and a whole consciousness. The appreciation of God's gifts When we sit down to eat, do we think this is God's gift? No, it's something we bought from the bazaar. We didn't see how it's God's gift that you put you plant the grain in the ground, and by His mercy manifested through the sun and the moonlight and the rain and the earth, how the food grains manifest. And there's a system also which Krishna has given, how you have to know when to harvest and then how to thresh and how to grind and cook. There's a whole science. Krishna's given it all. We can see the hand of God. There's natural appreciation and gratefulness for Krishna. Comes automatically. Whereas eating, now it's just a function. It's a bodily function. As in America, they have drive-in McDonald's. That means you drive in, put your order, you get the food and you drive off and you're eating, and you don't waste any time to stop and eat. You'll see, it's a few years ago, I remember seeing this, that a man, this was just in London, in front of our center there in London, in England, how a man, he was walking as fast as he could down the road. You have to keep your eyes open, otherwise you'll bump into people. It's very congested. In his left hand he had a hamburger or something which he was eating, and his right hand his cell phone. So he's talking, eating, walking as fast as he could, trying not to bump into anyone. Where's the pleasure in eating? Where's the consciousness that Krishna bara doya moi kari bari jiva joy svaprasadana dilo bhai, that Krishna has given us this food to help us conquer the sin. Just absolutely in the mode of passion. Avyarta kalatvam. He had the idea of not wasting any time, but not for the sake of serving Krishna. Just busy, 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 busy life. Working, earning money, managing your girlfriends, you're just completely lost from any even normal human sentiment, completely cut off from food. What is that food? Some hamburger that was grown in some part of the world. For the bread, the wheat was grown in some part of the world using all chemicals and harvested using big machines and then threshed by machines, sent to another part of the world, sprayed so it doesn't get mold on the way, and then processed, and all the if there was any nutrition in it in the first place, the way it's grown artificially, that's all taken out. And then you get this powder which is called wheat flour. It's got really not much resemblance to what real wheat is like. And that's one of the ingredients. And then they bring more ingredients from another part of the world. It's all in some big machine. They throw in some chemicals produced in a factory so that it doesn't rot. If you put this came on the internet recently. Someone had got their McDonald's meal and it had fallen in the back of the car, and a year later they found it, and it was still so-called fresh because of all the chemicals they put to make it stay fresh. But actually it's never fresh. Okay, I had a bunch, I have 5 pages of notes. I got as far as the first paragraph. We can continue tomorrow. Discussing this, Krishna willing. And I had a whole bunch of other notes in my notes for the class, but somehow they're missing. So many things to say. Anyway, I've said it all before, we should say it again and again. How serious is this Varnashram mission? How establishing our relationship with the land, and the cows helps us to establish. We always think in terms of cause and effect, but it just comes naturally. With a little bit idea of Krishna, then automatically we can see Krishna. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvang chamai pashati tasyaham na pranasham sachame na pranasyati. Always seeing Krishna everywhere, in everything. Then we're never lost to Krishna, and Krishna is never lost to us. We can see Krishna's hand in nature, but in the modern life, Krishna is expelled. They don't want any Krishna. Food comes from a factory farm, cow factory, chicken factory. They make the best chickens so that you can, they lay lots of eggs, as many as possible. Chicken factory, and you can eat chicken. Cow factory, they've made them into a factory object. What a sinful society. And what important service we have to try to establish. But again, our relationship, the land, the cows and Krishna. But as I've many times said in our Varnashram meetings, that the relatively easy part, and it's not so easy, is to convince people to go to the land and live like this, because they all think, we have to live in the city, how can we live without electricity, how can we live without this. But the biggest challenge in Kali Yuga is getting people to work together cooperatively, to trust each other, to love each other, to not have illicit sex when you get so people all together. That's been the downfall of several of our communities. That's a great challenge. Relationship. Our relationship with the land and the cows and Krishna and each other and all the animals, everything. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srinath ji Bhagavan ki jai.